This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sunday nights at 8 p.m., and we rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We are also now available on podcast on iTunes. Simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. DC 37 members, there are now more ways to stay in touch with the union. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. And every month, keep a lookout for your union newspaper, the Public Employee Press, in your mailbox. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a very important case that is pending in the Supreme Court of the United States. It is called Janus versus AFSCME Council 31. Tonight, joining us by phone to talk about the case is Roberta Lynch, the executive director of AFSCME Council 31 in Illinois. Good evening, Roberta.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Well, we're concerned, aren't we?
All of us, we are.
Elections have consequences, and the presidential election resulted in a Supreme Court nomination, and the nomination is a fellow named
Neil Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch, who, you know, I just think about how the world would be a different place if the election had turned in so many ways, and this is one of those ways, right? So this is a case that could muzzle the voices of public sector workers across the country, in effect making right to work the law of the land.
For every public employee. And that's a very important point that you're making just to start with, because many people see the name of the case, Janus v. AFSCME Council 31, and I've had people call me up and say, oh, too bad, you're under attack. No, we're all under attack.
Yes, sister.
Just like when Brown v. the Board of Education didn't just affect one state, it affected every state in the union. Roe v. Wade affected every woman in the United States of America. And this case will affect every public employee, teachers, firefighters, police officers, correctional officers, nurses, nurse aides. Every public employee in the country will be impacted by this case.
So let's talk a little bit about, how we got here, and some of the forces that are at work at making. This is now the third case that's going before the Supreme Court that's about public service workers, and tell us a little bit about the history of these cases.
Well, I'd like to, you know, particularly if I could start with this case, because I think that it is extremely telling how it originated, because the forces behind these cases are shadowy organizations, the National Right to Work Foundation. None of them have to reveal their funding, but we do know that the Koch brothers and other millionaires and billionaires are big contributors, the Bradley Foundation. Many of these groups operate in shadows, and they have a very political agenda, and I could say their agenda is to destroy public sector unions, and that would be accurate, but actually they have a bigger agenda, and that is really to cripple democracy in our country, to silence the voices of ordinary working people, freeze us out of the political process altogether, and further consolidate wealth and power in the hands of a very few people, which is completely inimical to, of course, what America is all about. America is a country built on democracy. It's built on every citizen having the right to participate. And one of the things that I think is widely recognized about labor unions, whether you belong to a union or not, unions help open up political debate and discussion. Unions bring more working people into the political arena. And in the current era when we have no, effectively, virtually no campaign finance laws that can limit the power of big money and, as it's been called, dark money in our political process, the role of unions in helping to counterbalance the influence of the ultra-wealthy and the super-rich is extremely important. And they know that. They recognize that. That's why they're devoting millions of those dollars to trying to destroy unions. Think about it. Unions are only one element in the American political landscape. We are the only element that, as I said, really brings working people clearly and forcefully into the political process. And these people are devoting millions of dollars, both in the legislative arena, we could talk about that, but today we're talking about the legal arena, to try to destroy unions. It's widely documented, I know you know this well, Chris, that unions don't just lift union members up, they lift all working
Everybody.
People up.
That's right.
When union workers gain, all workers gain. States where unions are strong are states where wage levels are high for all workers, or higher, let's say, for all workers. So that's the agenda that is coming forward now. And the reason that this Janus case, Janus v. AFSCME Council 31, which the U.S. Supreme Court has now agreed to hear beginning in January, that case originated in Illinois. Now, these shadowy organizations, what they did the last time one of these cases was before the Supreme Court, they had a group of teachers in California headed up by a woman named Rebecca Friedrichs, and they really tried to highlight, oh, look at this group of teachers and look at Rebecca Friedrichs. They don't like their union. You know, they don't want to be part of the union, and that's why they bought this lawsuit. Well, this lawsuit was not bought by any worker. Okay. This lawsuit was bought by Bruce Rauner, who is the governor of Illinois, the Republican governor of Illinois, who ran on a platform of wiping out public employee unions. He said that was his goal. That's why he wanted to be governor. And when he became the governor, that became his number one priority, is doing everything he could to try to destroy AFSCME in particular, but other public employee unions as well. And he is the one who originally bought this lawsuit against fair share fees. He started off trying to ban fair share fees in state government, and then he filed this federal lawsuit alleging that fair share fees are unconstitutional. Now, you know, Chris, I think very well, but to say that fair share fees are nothing but what they sound like, they are a fair way of unions being able to represent all the employees in a workplace where the union is the legal collective bargaining agent.
And that principle, that principle was affirmed by the Supreme Court.
Exactly. I was just going to say.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, okay. No, we're on the same
we're
wavelength.
On the same page.
In 1977, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously actually helped to establish the fair share fee structure. And that structure says simply, the union in a workplace is bargaining for every employee. Every employee directly benefits. I talked before about workers who indirectly benefit by what the union does. But in a given workplace where a union's present, every employee benefits. Every employee gets the raises that the union negotiates. Every employee is covered by the health plan that the union negotiates. Every employee has the right to file a grievance if he or she is discriminated against or unfairly fired. Every employee is protected by any health and safety provisions that are negotiated. Every employee gets the sick leave that's negotiated. So, of course, every employee should contribute. And what the U.S. Supreme Court said in 1977, okay, if you disagree with certain things that the union does that with regard to political activity, then we're required to factor out that activity and to allow you the opportunity to contribute at a lesser level, a fee. So you don't have to join the union. All you have to do is contribute your fair share toward all the gains that you have come to you by being in a union-represented workplace. So Bruce Rauner, governor of the state of Illinois, his first thing he did was issue an executive order trying to ban fair share fees. And then he went to court, federal court, seeking to have them found unconstitutional. Now, what happened is the federal court said, Bruce Jenner, you have no standing. He's there claiming you're not a worker. You know, we've been around a long time. No workers ever come to this court to object to paying fair share fees. You're the governor. You're the employer, essentially. So you obviously can't argue that you have the best interest of these employees at heart. Why should we? We're not going to allow you to be the plaintiff in this case. So then Rauner and his allies our Illinois-based right-wing think tank, they said, we've got to get some workers to be the plaintiffs. Do you know, Chris, they scurried around for weeks. Okay, there are, we represent and other unions too, of course, but AFSCME alone in Illinois represents over 35,000 state employees, okay? They could only come up with one
wow.
state employee to file this suit, Mark Janus, okay? And everyone is focused on Mark Janus. Where's Joe Smith and Mary Jones, and where are the other workers? 35,000 state workers, they could only find one person
to join
in this lawsuit.
And they looked for him. They had to go out and find him.
Scurry around to find him, knocking on people's doors, making phone calls, et cetera. And here's the other really, I think, you know, powerful, telling point here is no one has come forward to join ever since. And this is really important to keep in mind. So the suit is called Janus v. AFSCME Council 31, and the newspapers call up Mark Janus, and he gives them an interview. Bruce Rauner gave an interview not long ago. And what does he talk about? He calls it my lawsuit.
Wow.
Okay, my lawsuit is going to the Supreme Court. It's the biggest thing I've ever done. That's what Bruce Rauner says. It's the biggest thing I've ever done. It's going to change the power dynamics in this country.
So much for this being about the voice of the people.
Exactly. And so much of it being about, I don't want these employees to have to pay any extra money. It has nothing to do with that. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. And Mark Janus is obviously nothing more than a front person for the millionaire-billionaire clique that Bruce Rauner is part of. Bruce Rauner, for your listeners who may not be familiar with the Illinois governor, is a billionaire. He ran for office for the first time when he got elected just about three years ago. He is a guy who's a it's not a hedge fund manager, but it's something like that. One of these people that makes a lot of money doing something very, unclear exactly what it is that he does. But he is a billionaire. He has 9 homes. Untold wealth belongs to some wine club that, you know, where they pay $100,000 for wine and so on and so forth. This is unfortunately the guy who's governing Illinois right now and making a huge mess of it, by the way, total many, many disastrous problems in our state. But in the midst of causing fiscal chaos, driving our state deeply into debt, forcing hundreds of social service agencies to lay off workers and close their doors even.
You've been fighting him since day one.
I mean, exactly. And also trying to wreck our union and state government.
Right.
Totally violating the collective bargaining process and walking out on negotiations for a contract for state employees. He's a governor with many, many, many failings. Many people now very much aware of them. When he ran for office, nobody knew who he was. And he's a very big phony, very dishonest person. So, but I think it's so very, very telling that this case, he says it's his case. Him and his fellow, he admits
right,
it. The
right.
rest of these guys are hiding in the wings, but he just admits it. My case, it's the biggest thing I've ever done. That's what he says. And so it's, you can see very clearly in that this is not about the freedom of people to pay fees or not pay fees. This is a deliberate, concerted effort by a group of people, personified by Bruce Rauner, who is very explicit from day one that his goal is to destroy public employee unions, that he hates public employee unions. And this is his agenda.
We're talking with Roberta Lynch. She is the executive director of AFSCME Council 31 in Illinois. We just have a couple of minutes left. Tell me about the impact of this case. Has this energized the union?
I think it's a little early to say, Chris. I believe it will. I think we've seen in our union around the country, we've begun, even before we knew that the Supreme Court was going to take the case, which we just, as you know, we just found out in the last 10 days.
That the case will, in fact, be heard. Yes.
Even before we
found
that out, we knew that it was a real possibility, given the makeup of the court. As you pointed out, now with a 5-4, what I would call pro-corporate, anti-worker majority on that on the U.S. Supreme Court, we thought the odds were very strong that they would take this case. And we already have begun preparing around and all over the country to reach out and talk to every member to make sure that members understand what this is really all about. And I can tell you an interesting story from Illinois that I hope we'll see replicated, you know, all across the country. Because I mentioned, you know, that the first thing that Bruce Rauner did when he became governor was to issue an executive order banning fair share fees in state government. So we went to court and challenged that, and we did prevail, and he had to withdraw his executive order. But, of course, as the legal system is, it took us a little time to get that court order making him withdraw it. And, you know, as I mentioned, we represent 35,000 people. At any given time, there's always going to be a certain number, 1,000, 2,000 people who are fee payers. Oftentimes, they don't even realize they're fee payers. You know, maybe they forgot to sign their union card or whatever, you know.
Right.
So we had about 2,000 fee payers at that point in time in state government. We had 1,500 fee payers. Now, here's Bruce Rauner telling them, oh, you're not going to have to pay anything anymore. You won't have to pay one dime to the union. They called us up, contacted us, talked to their union steward, and 1,500 people converted from being fee payers to being full dues-paying members because they understood that Bruce Rauner is trying to destroy the union.
That's a great story. That's a great story.
Bruce Rauner tells you that he's trying to help you by getting rid of fees and that you don't have to pay anything to the union. You're going to say, let me pay a little more to the union because I know that Bruce Rauner is trying to drive down my salary. That's what he did in bargaining. He proposed a 4-year wage freeze, a 4-year step freeze, and a 100% increase, 100%, not 10%, 100% increase in employee health care premiums. And then he turned around and walked out on bargaining and tried to impose those terms on every state employee, and they would be imposed today, except that this union went to court and filed suit against him and got a stay to prevent him from doing that.
I'm running out of time. Sorry to do this. We're way over time now, so I've got to say thank you very much for being on the show.
It was great to talk to you.
Thanks, Roberta Lynch, Executive Director of Council 31 in Illinois. We'll be right back. We're back. This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. We're on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. and we rebroadcast at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. You can also reach us on iTunes. We now have a podcast. We've been talking about the Janus case and what its impact will be on public sector unions. And I thought we would spend some time talking about what we're doing at DC 37 to engage members and to get members more active. Unions have always been about the member and the members, and we're with Barbara Terlong, who is the director of the organizing department of DC 37. Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about what the efforts have been over the past year, as we've been, we know that elections have consequences. When Hillary Clinton lost, that meant that the Supreme Court appointment was going to be probably skewing conservative. Neil Gorsuch is that fellow. And we've been talking about this inside the union for some time. So what are we doing?
We are doing several things. We have established a volunteer member organizing worksite committees that talk member to member. We've established in political action a volunteer member organizing team that visits members at their homes. So there is a kind of around the clock talking member to member. So the volunteer member organizers are our retirees and family members of those members that work for the city or the culturals or any of the locations that we represent. So that is one program that we're doing, and meeting our members and talking to our members one-on-one. So every day this group goes out to talk to members, and we're really seeing a really good effect from that. In addition to that, our reps are doing what they do in terms of talking to the members every single day. So we're doing many different things on many different levels to reach out to our members. We're doing visibility campaigns where we might not be inside their locations, but when they come out, they meet us on the street. So we're wearing our green T-shirts, and they're letting them know that we're here to talk to them, and it's been very, very successful.
So we should tell our members listening that when you see a green T-shirt outside of your work site, you should feel free to go up and talk to folks. Are you setting up tables and things like that?
We're doing informational sessions at many agencies every single day. We're doing, we have the political action department has at least 80, at least 20 volunteers to 30 volunteers go doing the home visits. And we have approximately 60 that's doing informational table at various agencies. Some will do visibility, that if you see them in front of your location, everybody is always wearing green so that you know that they are there to speak to you, and you can come up and talk to them.
Can you give us any kinds of examples of what's on our members' minds these days based on these conversations that we've been having?
Yes, they are very concerned about the state of the country, with worrying about their pensions. They are worried about, the Constitutional Convention. They are worried about
the upcoming election, which puts the idea of having a Constitutional Convention on the ballot. And we've been talking to members about the concerns of that because we're afraid of losing rights and protections that we've been fighting for many years. Is that what you're talking about?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. And in addition to that, they're very concerned about becoming a right-to-work country or nation, or even in the city, becoming right-to-work. So those are they're worried about their benefits. They're worried about collective bargaining. They see what's happening across this country. So they see, the political climate. So working members are very concerned about the fate that we are moving towards.
It does seem as if folks are more aware on a daily basis that, I don't want to call it politics, but policy decisions that affect everyone are really on people's minds these days and on our members' minds. And I think that there's been it sounds to me like you're expressing their anxiety about what the future is going to look like.
Absolutely. I think that they have become very politically astute. They are learning, and they're definitely motivating. We're getting them. They're actually reading and talking and expressing and coming out to rallies, and they see that in order to, they have to participate. So we're engaging them at every level to come out and participate and let their voices be heard, because if they do not, they want to take away their voice. So I believe that the members are getting that, and every day we get out, they get stronger and stronger. So I'm really feeling really good about the members getting involved more.
And the folks who are becoming volunteer activists, what motivates them? What gets them to do that? I mean, most people have busy lives and busy schedules, but you know, then there are folks who say, I want to be a part of this. And I'm just curious as to what you have found about the folks who go from being everyday members who have their jobs and busy lives to actually taking a commitment to being involved in the union.
Because they actually know what's at stake. They actually understand that, you know, they have something to lose. They understand that a lot of the retirees that we have, they understand that their pension is legislatively driven, and that if, in fact, it can affect them as well, even though they are retired. So they are very committed. They want to do something, and they're out here, and they come in faithfully. I've never seen a much more dedicated bunch than the group that is actually volunteering, you know. So everybody that's volunteering understand what's at stake. And so they understand the sense of urgency that we have to get out there and we have to let people know what's going on.
Barbara, how does someone become a volunteer? How does someone become an activist?
They can do it online. They can call us. You know, a lot of we have a waiting list at this point. Political Action, you have to call the Political Action department, and they actually do theirs in the evening, because it's actually trying to get members at home when they're off from work. So they have a program in the evening. So they would call the Political Action department. For us, you could call the Organizing department.
The numbers, and we need to hear. Have numbers.
The numbers for the Political Action Department is 212-815-1550, and for the Organizing Department is 212-815-1095. So
okay.
You could call us.
Barbara Terrelong, the Director of Organizing for DC37. Listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's just about all the time we have for this State of the Union. Before we go, a couple of announcements. The District Council 37 Ed Fund is holding a resume writing workshop. There are going to be two workshops on Tuesday, October 17th and Tuesday, October 24th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. To apply, visit www.dc37.net. We were just talking with Barbara Terrelong, the head of the Organizing Department, and I want to remind you that the Organizing Department continues to hold lunchtime meetings at various sites around the city. To find out where there is a location near you, please call 212-815-1095. I want to thank our guest, AFSCME Council 31 Executive Director Roberta Lynch, for joining us this evening to talk about an important topic. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. If there's anything on this show that you want to comment about, please send us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. And until next time, ciao.